The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas.
Hi, it's Dr. Will Cole. This podcast is the manifesto for a new breed of health seekers. This is the art of being well. What's up, and welcome to the art of being well. I am a leading functional medicine doctor. I get to consult people around the world via telehealth, and I'm a New York Times bestselling author. If you want to learn more about my clinical work, the Telehealth Center, we have brand new telehealth patient options now open and lots of free resources, tons of things for you to reclaim your health with for free. You can learn more at drwillcole.com. That's drwillcole.com. And listeners, if you're a regular listener, you know, most episodes, we're giving away free healthy things. We're giving away free signed books, free supplement protocol stacks that we have at drwillcole.com. We're giving away free functional medicine telehealth consults. So for a chance to win, head on over to Apple Podcasts and rate and review The Art of Being Well there. Tell us what you love about the show. You can leave your Instagram handle in the Apple Podcast review itself, or you could take a screenshot of your review and message me on Instagram at Dr. Will Cole. And every single month, my team and I will be going through the messages on Instagram as well as the Apple Podcast reviews themselves. I read everyone. It's so kind and sweet and thoughtful. Thank you. So we pick winners every month. I'll reach out to you and then I'll ask what you want, if you want us to send you a product or a signed book or set you up with that free telehealth consult. Your pick if you win. All right, good luck. Let's get to today's guest. Her name is Dr. Stephanie Van Watson. Dr. Watson is the CEO of Serafina Therapeutics, a seasoned veterinary epidemiologist and public health scientist. Stephanie previously served at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Navy with a lifelong mission of helping people and our fellow animals age better. Stephanie's award-winning approach to improving human and animal health has been featured on NPR, BBC, CBS, and National Geographic. In her time as CEO, Serafina Therapeutics has been recognized for its extensive research and education on pentadecanoic acid, C15. Stephanie received her degree in animal physiology and neuroscience from UC San Diego, her DVM from Tufts University, her MPH from Emory University, and was a National Research Council Associate with the Armed Forces Medical Intelligence Center. Let's get right to it. This is Dr. Stephanie Van Watson's Art of Being Well. Steph, welcome to the podcast.
Great. Thanks, Will. Great to be here.
Oh my gosh. People are going to love all the things you're going to learn, stuff they've never heard anywhere else. We're going to get into it today. Let's maybe start from a professional side of things before we get into the details that all the notes that I have for you. How did you get into this space? I'm curious.
Yeah, to be honest, Will, it was all an accident. So, you know, there you have it. I'm a veterinarian, so veterinary epidemiologist working with dolphins, no less. So, you just never know where life's going to take you. You just got to follow the paths when they open up. That's take home message. We're done. We can be done with the podcast now. So veterinary epidemiologist, I was an undergrad at UC San Diego and I read Lori Garrett's book, The Coming Plague. And I was like, oh, I want to go track diseases down in Africa and go find Ebola. And so I went to veterinary school to understand how diseases work in all kinds of species, right? Not just humans. And from there, went to CDC and World Health Organization, helped to set up infectious disease surveillance systems all over the world. And then about 20 years ago, was invited by the U.S. Navy to help continually improve the health and welfare of Navy dolphins, which was amazing. And the discoveries we then made from there, helping older Navy dolphins, translated to me sitting here with you today to talk about, you know, C15, the first essential fatty acid we discovered in over 90 years.
Wow. This is massive science that I love the science around this, and I'm excited to share it with you. Wait, so Navy dolphins, is that a type of dolphin or are those military dolphins? Forgive my ignorance.
Not at all. No. So the Navy has helped care for a population of about 100 bottlenose dolphins for over 60 years. It ends up that they are amazingly good at finding lost objects in the water and detecting enemy swimmers. And so they've worked cooperatively with the Navy, for over half a century doing just that. They live in the open ocean. They live here in San Diego Bay, go out into the open ocean every day. Every day they choose to come back. It's really, as a veterinarian, really amazing.
I never knew that at all. So obviously you heard police dogs and they serve the police force. That our military has dolphins that are free roaming in the sea, but are trained and work for the Navy.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty amazing. And they do such a good job, Will, that dolphins at the Navy live on average 50% or more, longer than dolphins in the wild. Wild dolphins live to about 20 years old, while dolphins at the Navy routinely live into their 40s and even 50s. And so because they have this growing geriatric dolphin population, that's where we started discovering that older dolphins, they age a lot like us. They can get high cholesterol, chronic inflammation, fatty liver disease, even the full suite of changes consistent with Alzheimer's. So that then opened up this amazing opportunity to help Navy dolphins as they age. And they gifted us right back with discoveries that are helping us too.
And this is blowing my mind. I did not know we'd be talking about dolphins, but I love it so much because I love whales. For everybody that follows me on social media, I have like this deep appreciation, I think, for the majesty of whales, and dolphins are like right up there with me. Like, I think they're just, like you said, the intelligence is just profound. We don't even understand it. The average person doesn't understand how intelligent these beings are. Has it been postulated why they're living longer working? Is it less stress? They have a purpose. What is it?
Oh, I love the purpose one. We have to go pursue that. Dolphins at the Navy live longer for a few reasons. So the first is, they receive routine health care. So if, our military men and women get great health care, the Navy dolphins get even better. They get routine health checkups every day, every day. They get their full CBC and chems, that panel of 40-some things, the same thing we get when we go to the doctor's, but they get that monthly. They go to the Balboa Hospital here at the military if they need to go get CAT scans or MRIs. I mean, just amazingly high level of care that really allows, these dolphins to live happily for a long period of time.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense than my flippant purpose and less stress.
Oh, I love it though. I think that's part of it.
That might be part of it. If they keep coming back, they must love it. Okay, one last question. I saw a about dolphins. I saw a documentary. This is horrible and I'm digressing. I apologize, everybody. I saw a documentary. It was not new. It was trending on social media though. And it was about this dolphin who fell in love with his trainer. They basically had an affair, the two, the dolphin and the trainer. Have you heard about this documentary? And what does the industry think about this?
Sure. So I absolutely know the documentary of what you're talking about. Dolphins, I think the main take-home point of that is that dolphins are extraordinarily intelligent, very social, and they do have special bonds with people. I mean, you hear about surfers being out, right? And then the dolphins are surfing with them. I think, humans have had a connection to dolphins since the beginning of time. You can go back to Greek paintings and it's people with next to dolphins, right? Mm-hmm. And so we've had an affinity for them. And it does appear that they do have an affinity for us too, that, they again work cooperatively with us, with the team at the Navy actually. And it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was a sexual affair, which I just was shocked. Again, I'm living in this functional medicine bubble. There was a sexual illicit affair with a dolphin. Wow. Go Google it, everybody, if you dare. I am not responsible for what you find. All right, let's jump into C15, what we're here to talk about. I love it clinically. I understand the need for it. And now we have a way to do it and to facilitate it in patients' lives. How did you discover C15?
Right. So with the Navy dolphins, we, because they were, you know, they're allowed to get older and they're getting these aging related diseases. What was really important, well, was that despite these animals being in the same population, getting the same healthcare, not all of the aging dolphins were getting these aging associated diseases. So basically some dolphins were aging healthier than others. So when we dove in to look at it, we actually used a technology called metabolomics, which is looking at, you know, thousands of small molecules present in their blood. The Navy has had the foresight of archiving serum on the dolphins from when they're born all the way through their entire lives. So we were able to go back and test the serum for different metabolites molecules and to see which small molecules present in them and their fish predicted the healthiest aging dolphins. And what we found about 100 molecules that predicted healthy aging dolphins, but among the top, the very top, was C15, pentadecanoic acid, which is this odd chain saturated fat that was present in some of their fish, but not all.
Wow. So at that point, how was it determined the benefits, the specific benefits of C15?
Right, because at this point it's association. And you know, right. To be honest, when we ran the study, we did it with an unfair bias in which we just assumed, well, it would be omega-3s, because we're like, okay, well, dolphins eat fish. Clearly it's going to be omega-3s predicting the healthiest aging dolphins. And you know, omega-3s didn't even make the list for the dolphins. So with C15, the surprise, right, that it was a saturated fat that was predicting healthier aging dolphins. We said, well, it's association. So let's just take that molecule, the pure C15 molecule, and move it into the lab. So we did that. So we actually brought in Dr. Ed Dennis, who is a leader in fatty acids. He was the editor in chief for the Journal of Lipid Research for 15 years. So expert on fatty acids. And we worked with Ed to say, okay, what test should we do to see if C15 is not just associated with better health, but could in fact be the cause. So we did 8 studies in the lab over 3 years. We published all of those papers in one massive paper in Nature Scientific Reports in 2020. And that's where we tested how it works. We started with mechanism of action. So like, how is this molecule working? And we found that it's a promiscuous, we talk about dolphins being promiscuous. C15 is a promiscuous molecule in which it helps to activate a lot of different helpful receptors in our body. And this includes AMPK, right? Which sits at the heart of the longevity pathway and helps with healthy metabolism. It also activates PPAR alpha and delta. And again, these are orchestrators of healthy metabolism and immunity. And then we also found that it inhibited things that are bad. So it inhibited things like HDAC6 and JAK-STAT and even mTOR. So it had all of these benefits that supported that it's an active molecule. We then moved it into cell lines and showed that in a dose-dependent manner, the higher C15 cells to which cells were exposed, the more anti-inflammatory effects, the more anti-fibrotic effects, and even anti-cancer effects. When we did that study, we actually ran it against pure EPA for the omega-3, and we showed that C15 had 3 times more cellular benefits than even omega-3, which is great. I'll pause there. So I'm just going on.
I love that. So what year did this happen? When were you looking at all of this? And what were you going through on a personal career, like, I mean, do you think, man, I struck gold. I found this. I mean, what was going through your mind then?
You know, it's been so fun following the data. So, you know, as an epidemiologist, your whole job is to look for patterns and then to test out to see if those patterns actually result in something actionable. Super exciting and fun, always with, to be honest, a pessimistic outlook of like, well, this is neat, but you know, it's probably not going to be like the molecule. We found 100 of them. But as we continue to move through this process, the initial discovery in dolphins was in 2015. By the time we finished and published this work in the lab, that was 2020. We had also been able to show C15 effectively helped reduce glucose and insulin, cholesterol, triglycerides, treat components of fatty liver disease in relevant models. Mm-hmm. So then at this point, well, it's like, okay, this is feeling we can't really explain it away. And it got to the point where our advisors were saying, listen, you know, Steph and Eric, my husband, a Navy physician who's been doing this work alongside me, you know, our advisors came back and said, listen, enough is enough. Like, you have enough data. You've published in the peer-reviewed literature. Like, you have a moral obligation to help bring this molecule back to the world. So wow. The evolution was from being a veterinarian, you know, working with dolphins, to a scientist and inventor making these discoveries. And then just, again, in the end, it's just follow the data and be ready to let it go if the data, you know, didn't support our hypotheses.
Wow. How long ago was this?
So we've been working on this for 10 years. From the initial discovery of association in dolphins through today, where again, showing, you know, 3 times more cellular benefits than omega-3. We just published last year, at the end of last year, we put C15 head to head against the leading longevity molecules because it was hitting the longevity pathway. And we showed that C15 had the most cellular benefits, even compared to rapamycin, metformin, and acarbose. It closely mimicked rapamycin. So it's been a 10-year journey helping dolphins and helping people too.
Amazing.
It's been fun.
As a functional medicine doctor, people often ask me, what clean deodorants do I recommend? Because remember, our skin is one of our largest organs. What we put on our skin matters. Our skin absorbs a lot of what we put on it. A brand that I love is Lumi. If you haven't heard about Lumi, check it out. Spelled L-U-M-E. Their whole body deodorant is amazing. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits, your feet, and yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi. Flash forward 6 years, and her game-changing whole-body deodorant has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people around the world who like feeling confident from head to toe. Special offer, new customers get $5 off Lumi Starter Pack with code WILLCOLE at LumiDeodorant.com. Lumi's whole body deodorant is baking soda free. It's toxin free, paraben free, so you can have confidence. It's gonna love your body back. Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. What I recommend is trying Lumi's Starter Pack. It's perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and the deodorant wipes. And also, there's free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code WILLCOLE at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code WILLCOLE.
And just like that,
your favorite besties
and tastemakers,
Benito Skinner
and Mary Beth Barone,
are back.
Did you miss us?
You know they did.
Join us every Wednesday on your way to Sephora to hear our witty, ridiculous, and irreverent musings on life, the universe, existence, and of course, what we currently ride for.
You're going to absolutely live/die for this podcast. You might even, dare we say,
ride for it.
We're touching on, you went through some of the benefits in the pathways. So a lot of it is stemming around these people are interested in longevity. These pathways, you mentioned mTOR, mechanistic target of rapamycin, or mammalian target of rapamycin. And you mentioned AMPK, right? And you mentioned PPAR pathways. Can you explain overall what that is? I mean, there's 3 different ones, but maybe go through what the person that's interested in the science, but are really thinking about what's this doing for me? What is it doing for them when it comes to supporting these longevity pathways?
Absolutely. So, in the best way to put it, in a way that, you know, we all care about, right? Because it's the bottom line, is that nature, we have evolved over millions of years as a long-lived species. have evolved over millions of years to respond to this essential nutrient, which is C15, which then helps to activate pathways in our body, different kinds of pathways, all of which basically help us stay balanced. So it balances our immunity, balances our metabolism, and all of that, even our sleep and our mood. So when you think about as we get older, those pathways become weaker. And so the signaling doesn't happen as well. But C15 helps us, basically helps that signaling stay on track so that we don't lose that, you know, we don't get those imbalances that as we age, sleep is poor, our metabolism, right, gets slower, and our immunity, we get this chronic inflammatory state that everything gets a little out of whack. So C15 mm-hmm. really, by working with these different receptors, helps to keep us balanced. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best way to put it. And knowing that when you trigger, activate these receptors in the right way or deactivate them, that in the end leads to longer, healthier life, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, which makes sense that we made the discovery in dolphins and it haven't yet been found, for example, in mice, which mm-hmm. are short-lived species.
Wow. I mean, you think of the synchronicity of something, you doing such a niche thing and then even finding even more niche thing, but it's going to help everybody because it's a fundamental to human health. What are things that people notice when they start taking it? Is there any like thing that you hear above all else, or maybe a short list of things that people tend to notice when they're consistent with taking it?
Yeah. And it's very consistent, and it's what the dolphins couldn't tell us. I'm sleeping better. I had a good night's sleep last night. So what we hear most consistently with regard to these near-term benefits is about half of the people who take the C15 supplement within 2 weeks report feeling better, and that the three most consistent benefits are healthier, deeper sleep, less pain in the joints, calmer mood, and there's one more, less appetite between meals. And at first we were a little bit confused about why people were getting this. If you activate PPAR receptors, you can get these benefits, but they were pretty solid. Like even mm-hmm. like I experienced them and others on our team as well. And so another body of research that came out 2 years ago was we found that our body uses C15 to make a second molecule called a metabolite. And this metabolite actually directly activates cannabinoid receptors. So CB1 and CB2, which these receptors are absolutely at the heart and center of lower pain, better sleep, calmer mood. So we're now understanding kind of the complexities of it. So those are the near term. Yeah. And within 1 to 3 months, that's where kind of the heart of our work with C15 has been, where C15 helps to basically lower glucose, lower liver enzymes, lower inflammation. And so these are things that you know, Dr. Cole is going to care about and be able to see and, you know, show your patients that, wow, this thing is having a benefit. So we really encourage people to get their labs done ahead of time with their doctor. You can also test for C15 and then go see how you're doing within 3 to 6 months.
Wow. Thank you for this. So the endocannabinoid system pathway is fascinating to me. So you're saying that C15 has been shown to increase a metabolite that works upon the CB1 and CB2 receptor sites.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And because, right. And, you know, if you figure about, we have these receptors that, you know, they're called cannabinoid receptors because cannabis activates them. But we weren't really meant to have those. It would be hard sell to say that we have those receptors throughout our body waiting for us to find cannabis, right? That they're there for a reason. And very likely they're there specifically in some part for this molecule, for us to eat C15 so that we could have this molecule.
Yeah. And the brain is rich with CB, these receptor sites. The gut is rich with these receptor sites. And I've seen research, I've written about it before, the different gene variants that some people that tend to have more autoimmune inflammation tend to have these specific endocannabinoid receptor site variants in the gut that is associated with increased rate of food sensitivities and GI issues. And those, that's a lot of the people that I deal with are people with these GI issues. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing any improvements there? I guess, I mean, you mentioned that, the different inflammatory pathways being improved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I myself, I have atopic dermatitis, so like red, irritated skin. And, you know, I noticed that when taking the C15 supplement, you know, fatty 15, that it tempered it, right? So it didn't get rid of it altogether, but it calmed it to the point where my quality of life was improved. So yeah, so we're learning more. And the big question, you know, that has arisen and what makes it so urgent is that our main source of C15 in the diet is whole dairy fat. And as that's gone down, our C15 levels have declined dramatically. And so the question is, knowing that C15 does all these great things in supporting our health, have nutritional C15 deficiencies actually led to, right, the rise in diabetes and heart disease, fatty liver disease, and then like you're mentioning, these autoimmune diseases, especially among younger people. And so mm-hmm. we're, you know, eager to be able to help answer that question mm-hmm. with the greater community.
That was a question that I had. You kind of answered it. Is obviously we're talking about therapeutic doses in capsules, which we'll talk about the protocol and what that looks like. But from a supportive food, like foundational, I guess you're saying your meals as medicine mm-hmm. from a nutrient density standpoint, the main dietary source for C15 is going to be dairy fats. Is there any other sources? And then are there superior types of dairy fats that provide more ample amounts of this fatty acid?
Yeah, it's a great question. So our main source, so dolphins were getting their C15 from specific types of fish. And in those fish, it was primarily in the skin and the heads. Parts of fish that we don't eat. So it is not, fish are not our primary or even a secondary tertiary source of C15. For us, just like you mentioned, it's whole dairy fat. And dairy fat is such a reliable source of C15 that C15 has actually been used for decades by scientists to measure how much dairy fat we've eaten. So it's actually a biomarker of how much milk you just drink, you know, today. So very reliable, you know, one of the criteria of an essential fatty acid is that, you know, we have to have certain levels of it in our body to stay healthy, and our bodies can't make enough of it. Therefore, we have to get it from our diet. So C15 by far, whole fat dairy is our primary source of mm-hmm. C15. Within those, like, what's your question of like, what are the best ones? We know that when cows are fed corn, for example, their C15 levels are lower than cows that are fed grass. So grass-fed whole dairy fat you can hedge your bets in having the most C15 in it.
Novel idea, right? Novel idea.
Like, I know, kind of going back, letting nature do its thing is kind of the big lesson of this whole podcast.
So, and like a grass-fed, I mean, obviously ghee, it's like pure fat, or a full-fat kefir or cream, I'm assuming that would be the most rich source of it from a food standpoint, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, and that's where it's, you know, a big push is, you know, with pediatricians now are, you know, telling all parents as soon as your kid turns 2 years old to take your child off of whole fat milk. And so, you know, the big question is, have we been, you know, methodically taking away this good C15, you know, starting at a really early age? And plant-based milks, for example, have no C15 in it. So yeah, so dairy is our main source. The downside of dairy is that while it does contain C15, of all the fats in dairy, about 1% of it is C15. About 40% of it are these pro-inflammatory, even chain saturated fats like C16 and C18. So when studies have tested like pure C15, for example, and dairy fat in models of type 2 diabetes and fatty liver disease, they show that the models actually get worse on dairy fat, better on the pure C15. And so, you know, it's a big movement right now. Usually eating foods is your best thing to do. And when it comes to omega-3s, eat fish, right? But in this case, because C15 is at such low levels, the science does seem to support that being able to take it out and make C15, you know, available without having to compete with those pro-inflammatory fats, that there's an advantage.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned fish heads and how we're not eating these things, but isn't traditionally, I'm not an expert in this, but fish head soup, and I have some patients make fish broth. I don't know if they're using the heads or not, but I give them the recipe. Will we get any C15 from the broth of fish I'm not sure of that.
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's a fat. So those lipid particles that float up to the top of the broth,
yeah.
You know, or something if you let like, it sit out.
If you sit yeah. out, I was like, let the broth cool. I'm assuming there'd be another study for you and all your spare time. measure it in the skimmed fat of fish broth.
Yeah, I love it. And yeah, that's how, you know, C15, C17 first came to be recognized was they were looking at lard and letting the fat float to the top. And it was highest concentration in that. You know, it doesn't sound too appealing, but
no, it's not.
You're spot on though with that. Letting the fat float to the top and
yeah. There. All right. So these are saturated fatty acid bonds, right? So most of the listeners know, but they're going to share this with family and friends that maybe hear saturated fat, they think that's bad. Can you talk about the science of that and how we're really missing the mark, I think, to understanding the complexity of these essential fatty acids?
Yeah, absolutely. So with saturated fats, we've learned that not all saturated fats are created equally, which again is probably not mind-blowing because the more we learn about fats, we learn that they behave very differently. It's not really one category with regard to health. So within the saturated fat category, there are odd chain and even chain saturated fats. And it's pretty simple. Odd chain means they have an odd number of carbons, like C15, C17, and even chains have an even number of carbons, like C16 and C18. Amazingly, if you're an odd chain saturated fat, and C15 being kind of the Goldilocks among them, it has these benefits, right? If people with higher C15 have a lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes, heart disease, fatty liver disease, and certain types of cancers, it has anti-inflammatory effects, you know, all the things we've talked about. You take one carbon difference, you take C16, it does the opposite. It's pro-inflammatory, higher risk of type 2 diabetes, heart disease, fatty liver disease. So nature has chosen to be very specific with regard to differentiating these two types of saturated fats.
Got it. And then another thing that comes to mind that people, maybe they understand the science and the nuance, I guess, of different types of fatty acids, but they have, if you're looking at the food source of C15 primarily being dairy, people may have dairy sensitivities, right? And obviously these better sources of dairy, I will say, people tend to have less reactions to them. But even so, there's some people that have such a hypervigilant immune response because of what we've done to our food supply that they can't even have the best grass-fed organic A2 dairy. Right. So I think that's exactly where supplementation comes in. How is yours extracted? What's the source of it? Where does it come from?
So when we went to develop Fatty 15 or this Pure C15 supplement, to be honest, well, we were advancing it as a pharmaceutical. So, you know, supplement was not on our mind at all. We were just like it looked like this could treat fatty liver disease. And so we were moving in that direction and continue to do so. And so when we developed it, we made it pure pharmaceutical grade ingredient. So that the way we do it, and we also wanted it to be vegan friendly. Like we just had a lot of different criteria that we could take advantage of by going this, you know, pharma grade route. So we're able to get basically C14 from things like nutmeg or coconut, which is highly prevalent. And we have pure C14, so it has none of the allergens in it. And we add a carbon to it. So we're able to then have a vegan-friendly 99.5% plus pure C15 that's bioidentical to what's in nature. It's the same, exact same simple molecule, and then be able to have it then at doses that, you know, that we could, that are effective without, again, having to compete with these, you know, pro-inflammatory saturated fats.
Got it. So you're saying it's from nutmeg and coconut. And you have a C14 and you're just attaching an extra carbon molecule to it. That's why you all are scientists.
Science. Well, yeah, I'm not going to take credit, but you're being able to reach out and build the team that can be like, okay, here are our criteria. Here's how we want it done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's incredibly potent because again, we went down as if we were going to put this through the FDA approval process as, mm-hmm. you know, a well-controlled, you know, highly mm-hmm. high quality pharmaceutical. And mm-hmm. COVID hit when we were about to start clinical trials. And at the same time, that's when we were discovering it was meeting the criteria of an essential fatty acid. And that's when our advisors came in and said, listen, this needs to have greater accessibility than just through a physician prescribing it. It needs to come out as a supplement first. Mm-hmm. So that we did. And all of a sudden got into things like, what does a bottle look like, and brand names, and, you know, a very different world.
First of all, I know this is such a superficial, vapid thing, but I am a sucker for branding too. I'm science first, efficacy, purity first, quality first, but I also love a good bottle. And let's be real, like, your bottle's beautiful. That nice green, what's the story behind that? Because I appreciated it. I want you to know.
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll pass that on to our team who led that. So when we were working on the science and the, you know, and the ingredient and the quality and getting all of that prepared, we brought on a team, which it was really amazing. They said, listen, you are bringing a product where the science is like up here, like the quality of the product, the science behind the product, what it's going to do for the world. They said, it just doesn't feel right putting it in a plastic bottle. And they said, hey, if you're going to help dolphins, save people, why don't we save the earth too? Yes. And so they came up with a design that's like, you know, that was about reducing the, this is an industry fraught with throwaway plastics, mm-hmm. with supplements. And they said, let's make it a glass bottle with a bamboo top. People can, let's make it beautiful. So they want to keep it and hold on to it, mm-hmm. and then have basically refills sent out in recyclable packaging and mm-hmm. a low carbon footprint every 90 days. And, you know, it all made sense. But they were the ones who made the pitch of like, let's have packaging that meets, you know, the standard of what you're bringing to the world.
I appreciate it. Tell the team, because it does convey all of that. It's like light and airy and beautiful. Great job. Okay, so at what point did you hear the news? This is fitting the criteria of an essential fatty acid. And I don't want to gloss over that. I think you said over 90 years. Can we talk about that? Like, how important, monumental that was for you?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, it was interesting because it was, you know, this is the conclusion of, you know, like what we talked about. We did these 8 studies over 3 years. This is a long time. Like, these are a lot of studies over a long period of time. And we were writing the paper and pulling all the pieces together. And that's where Dr. Ed Dennis, you know, looked at it. And he's like, Steph, he's like, not only are we showing that C15 is active and beneficial, he's like, are you realizing this is meeting the criteria of like a vitamin, right? That it's something that we must have to stay healthy, or we could have a nutritional deficiency, like, you know, vitamin C and scurvy and vitamin D and rickets. We now are pursuing, you know, the hypothesis that C15 nutritional deficiencies are the cause of fatty liver disease. A fatty liver disease is a C15 deficiency syndrome.
Wow.
So when we were finishing up the paper and we pulled it all together, and after talking with, you know, with Ed Dennis, it felt like a tremendous privilege to, again, kind of have fallen into a path that nobody could have predicted. I don't even know how to swim well. So like, what the heck was I doing with dolphins at the Navy?
This just got even better. Oh my gosh. Well, they would save you anyways. They're Navy trained SEAL.
Let me go down. So clearly this was not a predicted path of something I decided when I was 6. So the fact that, you know, all of the people with which we worked, the gift of the dolphins, the foresight of the Navy, like, to have all of these happen and culminate in this, like you said, a monumental discovery, in big part because it's something we can fix. That if in fact C15 deficiencies are driving the rise in all of these diseases, kind of a broken generation where we're saying, why are people in their 30s getting old people diseases? Mm-hmm. If we can fix this by restoring our C15 levels, oh my goodness. Like, so it's the, once that started hitting, that not only is it something that we discovered, but it's actionable to help improve people's lives within months. Yeah, it just a true honor to be part of that.
It really is. I mean, so for you and the studies that you're looking at on I mean, this is exciting for me to even be talking about this with you. It is a causation, a causal role of a C15 deficiency being implicated into fatty liver disease. But we're talking about 93-ish, you know, depending on the study that you look at, over 93% of the United States is metabolically unwell. I mean, you said a broken generation. They're somewhere on the insulin resistant spectrum. And we know these beneficial fatty acids being, we knew this from, you know, other studies of how healthy fats are a part of a healthy metabolism and immune system and nervous system. So you're saying specific type of fatty acid, C15, is very much implicated into fatty liver disease. So do you have any data on how much C15 somebody should be consuming to stay healthy, to remedy this deficiency?
We do. So I'll just cut to the chase and then walk backwards from there. So we know that we need about 0.2% of the fats that make up our cell membrane, that, you know, this two layers of lipids that protect each and every one of our cells, that cell membrane needs to have about 0.2% of C15 to keep it solid and protected against premature breakdown. That is equal to something like 20 micromolars or 5 micrograms per mil. So that is great that we've gotten to a point where we can actually define what science is supporting as deficiency. One thing we didn't talk about, we talked about how C15 targets these receptors. I didn't talk about C15 as its role, as it's a very stable fatty acid. So if you compare it to polyunsaturated fatty acids, like omega-3 and omega-6, they're oils at room temperature, and they have valuable roles, but they are super susceptible to things like oxidation, right? That they could go rancid and they could cause lipid peroxidation, makes our cell membranes more fragile. C15 is just this little saturated fat, no double bonds. So it has no susceptibility to attack by oxygen, no lipid peroxidation. So it literally serves as like bricks inside of our cell membrane to help stabilize them against, you know, against attack. So the foundation of that ends up being the foundation for fatty liver disease. It would take another like 3 hours to go through all that. But the take home point being that in 2012, the same year that we talked about fatty liver disease in dolphins, where we discovered it, we published it, Dr. Jeff Schwimmer from Rady Children's Hospital, he opened the first fatty liver disease clinic for kids in the world, and he happened to be in San Diego. And so Jeff sent me an email and he said, "Hey, I read your paper on dolphins and fatty liver disease. Probably not the same thing." So he's like, "But send me some livers, some liver tissues. I'll take a look." And a couple of weeks later, Will, like, he sent an email and it said, "We are a go." He's like, "This is the exact same disease process." He goes, "Okay, so it's not sugars. It's not ultra processed foods for the dolphins. What is it?" And that's where we then, you're going through all these studies, found that it was a low C15 driving the disease. We were able to show in relevant models that it treats fatty liver disease. And then Jeff did a study on his own kids showing that the higher C15 kids had, the lower the amount of fat they had in their liver. So we just finished a clinical trial and it's in review. So I can't share the results, but stay tuned. But
we'll have you back. We'll have you back for part two.
Great.
We'll reveal it.
So very excited for that paper to get out.
Very much so. Okay, so essential fatty acids, everybody that doesn't know this, it means you have to get it from outside of you. Your body's not going to make it on its own. Okay, so we know the amount. And isn't this just another example? We've heard it over the years in our space, right, of researching nutrition and human health, the ramifications, the unintended consequences, or we could say the intended, but let's just go with unintended consequences of advocating for a low fat diet, right? We're vilifying these things that our body needs. And I mean, I'm sure you've thought about this, but what a price we've paid.
We definitely paid a price. I know, as you're saying, the intentions were not ill. You know, in 1977, when interestingly Congress decided what our dietary guidelines were going to be. And that was
because they're beacons of health.
I don't think we would put that in their hands, you know, today. But, you know, it ended up being, if you actually go back and look at those, so the 1977 dietary recommendations were the first to really come out in a very public way to say all Americans should be eating less saturated fat, like including whole fat milk and butter. But if you actually go and look at the report, there were 8 men on the steering committee that made the report. You get 7 pages in and 3 of them actually say, like, we've been talking to the American Medical Association, to experts, and they actually don't agree that we should be giving such broad guidelines about fat to every American. So it really came down to like 5 people.
Wow.
And it took hold. I mean, mm-hmm. it was so easy to say, choose non-fat instead of whole fat milk, and then mm-hmm. choose soy instead of cow's milk. It's something that we could do easily and mm-hmm. feel like we were doing something that was good for our health. Again, the intentions weren't bad. Mm-hmm. It's just looking back, you know, obviously obesity and diabetes got way worse after those were implemented and they didn't get better, which was, you know, a big driver for those recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, when you get money involved, I guess, in flimsy science, then there's an agenda behind it. Sometimes I'm sure it started out with decent, you know, thoughts, but it just got kind of crazy and we're paying the price for it now. But now we could turn the ship around. And I think that's the beautiful mm-hmm. thing here. The body's amazingly resilient. And when you start nourishing it with these compounds, the body will respond. And you showed that. I mean, how quickly, I know every case is different, but what's like an average time span, I guess, after somebody starts taking C15, fatty 15, how fast can they notice a change, some movements in the positive direction?
So some people report within days. For those cases, it's more like you took the C15, it got into your bloodstream, and it's activating those receptors, right? Like mm-hmm. just like that. So you kind of get that wave where it hits the receptors, helping with sleep, helping with pain. Those can happen pretty quickly, at least within weeks. The metabolic, the long-term benefits, where it actually goes into our cell membrane, settles in, stabilizes our cells,
yeah.
right? To help support our long-term health. That, like, to settle in body-wide is like 1 to 3 months, mm-hmm. which is nothing compared to a lifetime, right? But there are studies that show that even in our red blood cells, within 2 to 5 days of making a dietary change in our fats, those changes get reflected in our cell membranes within mm-hmm. 2 to 5 days. So there's so much hope behind mm-hmm. being able to, you know, understand the value of C15, but also other healthy fats. And then also that also means that we can get rid of unhealthy fats just as quickly as we can bring on the good ones. So it's, mm-hmm. It's so actionable, like you had shared, Will.
Yeah. So for you, I mean, it sounds like you, and I would advocate for the same supplementing with it to get therapeutic amounts of it, pairing it with food. How much, like roughly, would you recommend someone getting from food and then filling in the gaps for the supplementation? Or are the supplements enough if somebody's like, no, I don't want to have dairy fat or I can't have dairy fat? What are other suggestions you have pairing food with the supplementation?
In general, nobody had 0 C15 levels. So that means that, and we do know that there's some studies showing that there are some microbes in our gut that can produce C15. Interestingly, like eat yeah. fiber and our bacteria use inulin to make C15. So there is some baseline level of C15. It's not enough. It's like if we needed 20 micromolars, most people are sitting on 10 or less, even without any dairy. So it's getting the dairy help traditionally used to get people up and over that 20 micromolar limit. So I use 2% milk with my coffee, and because there are a lot of fatty acids in milk. I don't drink a lot of it because, again, those pro-inflammatory ones. And then I take, you know, 1 to 2 capsules. It's 100 milligram capsules a day. And to be honest, the 2 capsules is for selfish purposes. It's more for near-term stuff. Like if my joints are hurting, I've got some tennis elbow going on, having nothing to do with tennis, you know, then 2 capsules help with that type of thing. But for ongoing maintenance, you know, 100, a single 100 milligram capsule, as you've seen them, they're so tiny, mm-hmm. really helps with that maintenance. And again, there's a test available, which changes, you know, is incredibly enabling. So people can get tested, see where their mm-hmm. levels are, and then, you know, adjust their dosing appropriately.
Got it. All right. That's interesting. I'll talk about the test in a second, because I do have a question on that. But the even if someone doesn't have dairy, they're not having, let's just say, nutrient dense in that way foods, that the gut microbiome, which again, hooray for the brilliant dynamic profundity of the microbiome, but it's converting inulin fiber, fermenting that fiber and producing this fatty acid, like it does short chain fatty acids too, right? So we have these like low levels. It's not like you're saying, it's not optimal levels, but the body's manufacturing it endogenously in the gut.
Exactly. And so when we talk about a C15 supplement, it's truly a supplement, right? So we have base, you got you to the 10 micromolars just through baseline. Let's get you up and over the 20. And that's where that 100 milligrams of C15 lets you get there. I have not shied away from butter my whole life, or even whole fat milk in the past, but I'll tell you that, you know, with the supplement with fatty 15, I feel benefits that I never felt from taking milk. And I think, again, it's because it's just this pure, potent ingredient that doesn't have to compete, you know, with everything else. So it's been great.
Wonderful. So what is the test? Maybe we'll start with a C15 test, but I'd like to look, you mentioned you recommend testing before and after they can see. So C15 maybe would be one test, but I'd love to know your other recommended test to compare and contrast after you start taking fatty 15.
So for the C15 test, it's at the very least, Genova Diagnostics they have a fatty acid test. It includes C15. They have both a blood spot as well as a red blood cell membrane, as we talk about actually measuring the amount in your red cell membranes. Genova Diagnostics does that. And their range seems to be pretty good, pretty spot on. So we're working with them as well. We're working with them to develop a panel where you can actually test the strength of the cells. There's a thing called the osmotic fragility test, where you take red cells, you basically pop them in salt water, and you just see how long before the cell pops. And it's such a simple test, but it absolutely measures how strong your cells are. We know that C15 improves our cell strength by 80% through this test. And so it would be great for people to be able to get those tests routinely. You as a physician, Dr. Cole, can order it, but patients can't. So that's the basic. And then that we recommend, it's basically your same 5-year physical checkup lab. So you're going to get your CBC and chem, make sure to include your glucose, HbA1c, your lipid panel, and your LFTs, your liver enzymes, as well as inflammatory markers like CRP. And for the most part, that's where most people are getting captured. So it's truly essential, right? It's actually helping in something that we care about, not kind of a cross your fingers. And if C15 levels went up, that's great. But if it's not helping helping you be healthier, it's limited. So
100%. And and just like you said, those are labs that we run for people around the world. So they could reach out to us at drwillcole.com, and we do that. The Genova test, the fatty acid test, the C15, and the CBC and the CMP. Great test. And I love that. You're not only going to feel the difference when you're consistent with taking it, but you can track the data as to the mechanisms of action with this as well. You talked about the compare and contrast between C15 and omegas. Can you talk about the difference between the two for people on a practical level?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're kind of, think of them as a yin and yang of fatty acids. So omega-3 is a polyunsaturated fatty acid. So it means it's an oil at room temperature. It has in its structure these double bonds, and that allows it to bend. Think of the double bonds as hinges. So they're able to bend and be flexible. And because of that, it helps our cell membranes be flexible, which is good. The C15 has, it's the opposite effect. So again, it's a super stable fatty acid with no double bonds. It doesn't bend. It's solid at room temperature. It's not an oil, and it's not susceptible to, attack by oxygen. So it helps stabilize our cell membranes. As we get older, the issue becomes more about our cells being susceptible to attack by oxygen. And so as we get older, our C15 levels decline. And so there's a need, both through diet, if we're deficient in the diet, but also just the aging process, C15 levels go down. So there's a need to get that C15 into our cell membranes to stabilize them. So that's probably the best way to think about them. When we talk about omega-3s versus C15 in a bottle, right, that the big issue with omega-3 supplements has been more about the stability of the oils in the bottle. And so it's just making sure that you have an incredibly high quality omega-3 if you're taking it as a supplement. Numerous studies have shown that half of the omega-3 bottles on the shelf have already undergone lipid peroxidation before you even get it in your body. So it's just tough. They're oils and they're susceptible. So we recommend fish. Use fish to get your omega-3s.
Yeah. And yeah, unless you're going to get high quality third party tested stuff, then get it from, I mean, get it from food anyways, but then fill in the gaps with supplementation, but have to be smart. Because you mentioned light, air, heat. I mean, all of those poly, it does not want to be consumed in supplement form. Conversely, C15, these saturated fatty acid bonds are, I love the analogy you use, the brick. It's stable. It's like the brick of our cells. And for people, if they've learned nothing else, we're made up of cells, right? 30 trillion cells. And the way you're describing of the intake, consistent intake of this, of nourishing your cells with a stable brick, which is where your receptor sites are. For everybody that's interested in hormonal signaling, I mean, we talked about insulin signaling, but it's any hormone. You need a healthy cell membrane to have proper hormone balance and proper nervous system function. That's profound. Is there any doubt in your mind, like in another 10 years, we're going to have so much more compelling data of this very thing we're talking about right now, of how profoundly important it is for our health?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating. The science, you know, started with the dolphins, and then we found out that people were discovering the same thing in humans, that humans higher C15, healthier agers. And now there are a lot of people doing the science around C15, just like, you know, we've been doing. And well, it's just been so wonderful that every couple of weeks there are papers coming out now from prestigious groups throughout the world who are showing us more and more about how important C15 is. The last piece that came out in 2012, group at Columbia University discovered an entirely new way that our cells are dying, called ferroptosis. And it ends up, this is exactly the process that we were seeing in the dolphins. And we're pursuing the hypothesis along with others that ferroptosis, which is a unique way that our cells are dying and contributing to type 2 diabetes, fatty liver disease, heart disease, that it is caused by C15 deficiencies, because it's like weakening of the cell membranes, gets attacked by oxygen, mitochondrial function goes down. It all leads back to C15. So I think that, you know, over the next 3 to 4 years, it will be increasingly recognized that we really do have to get a certain amount of C15 and have it in our cells. And if we don't, our cells have found a new way to die without it. So again, it's a little scary, but it's fixable. And so it's one of those things we just can't afford to wait, you know, and we're really just trying to get as many researchers working on C15 as fast as possible so that we could help, you know, fix these global problems.
Amen to that. Obviously, we talked about lack of nutrient-dense foods with these healthy fatty acids as one major reason why we're deficient. We become deficient as we age of C15. Are there any other reasons that you're looking at as to why we become deficient in C15?
You know, those would be the main ones where I'm clearly eating less food. You know, when you look at people, how much cow's milk the average person, average American drinks, whole fat milk. Back in the 1950s, we drank an average of 2 cups of whole fat milk a day, and we're down to 0.1 cup. And we know that through studies, our C15 levels have been declining. That's followed the whole fat dairy story. There's the aging component, like you said. The third is the microbiome component, that, you know, what are the effects of if our microbiome, if we don't have the right bacteria that makes C15? Again, we kind of talk about that low-lying base level that's in our bodies that we probably don't want to, we might have messed with that as well, very well have. And that's contributing even further to even that baseline C15 level.
Wow. I mean, that's another, such an important point, because there are people, I've seen studies with certain postbiotics that you, in theory, can get from food, but we don't have, because of the decimation of the human microbiome, we don't even have the proper microbes to make this postbiotic where our ancestors used to be able to make it, which is why supplementation in its direct form is so important here for people that are like, I can just get it from food. Well, yes, start there, but filling in the gaps, whereas our ancestors wouldn't necessarily have to fill in the gaps as much because of the microbiome component to it. As you know, the podcast, it's called The Art of Being Well. At the end of every episode, we have your Art of Being Well. First question is, what is your dream vacation, dream holiday?
Oh my goodness. My dream holiday is a place that I could go. Okay, not too near water.
Yeah, right.
I won't be swimming.
At least wear like floaty.
I think I'd be in a very quiet hut on a beach where I don't go in the water, but I'm able to just have nothing happen. And then I'd last about 20 minutes. Well, but that 20 minutes would be awesome.
You say you'd last 20 minutes off the grid. It's nice in theory. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You can relax.
But boy, that sounds lovely, but we have a lot of work to do. And so it's really, the thought is more of a planning that dream moment, quiet moment on the beach in a hut post the rest of the world can, once we fix things a bit, then we'll go enjoy that.
So you're on the beach away from the water, but sit in a safe spot in the shade. What's the book you're reading? What's a book? Maybe let's go what you've read in the past year that could be fiction or nonfiction that just was like a game changing book for you.
Yeah. I'd have to go back way further. I have just my standbys. Well, and so one is, To Kill a Mockingbird is just every summer I read it. I kick off my summer reading by reading To Kill a Mockingbird for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. That would be my main one. And then Spalding Gray's Swimming to Cambodia, which is again funny because it has the word swimming in it, is my also start off every summer with those two books. So I'd have to have those with me.
I love it. So To Kill a Mockingbird, my dog's name are Scout and Harper after the character and the author. I love that book as well. All right. Next question is, do you take any other supplements other than Fatty 15? And if you do, what are they?
I don't take any. I have to say, I don't take any other. Before Fatty 15, I never took supplements. I got in trouble as a kid. Well, my mom would try to give me the multivitamins to swallow. And she realized like all of a sudden I was using napkins when I never used to.
That's funny.
And it's because I was spitting them out.
The good old Flintstone vitamins.
Exactly. I needed those chewables. And so I do try really hard to get everything that I need through food. So making sure that I'm getting the fish and the vegetables and, all the things to be as healthy as possible. And Fatty 15 is the first supplement that I ever took and that I take religiously, and not just because we made the product. It's genuinely helping me feel better. A lot of supplements that we take, it's harder to understand the benefits. And this one, it's just very
it speaks
obvious.
For itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're taking two capsules a day, correct?
I take, one to two. So it varies. Yeah. If joints are doing great and I haven't challenged them, then one's just fine. But it was like a delight and surprise bonus of taking two that added the benefit of no joint pain, which is pretty nice.
That's wonderful. What is maybe a non-food, non-supplement? Do you do anything else for your wellness, maybe like a biohack or anything that you do for self-care?
Yeah, this sounds like a terrible one, but it really works for me. And that is that every day I take a micro nap. So it's like a reset for my brain. And everybody in my life knows that I have to take that, where it's like I get a whole morning's work in. And then I have to just let my brain rest, which studies have shown that that is absolutely what's happening. You're moving things from short-term memory into long-term memory. I shouldn't call it a micro, a 20-minute nap, that it seems to me that that is exactly what happens. And I'm able to wake up refreshed and get on to, working on saving the world with our team for the rest of the day.
So are you setting an alarm at 20 minutes? Or are you saying once you fall asleep, it's 20 minutes? How are we timing this?
Yeah. I naturally wake up.
Wow.
It's, It's pretty cool. Like it's a really good system that works. And I used to have to set an alarm for 28 minutes because mm-hmm. it's like you have to walk the line carefully of mm-hmm. how much you go into deep sleep. And so, because otherwise you wake up groggier than when you started. Mm-hmm. But for me, 20 minutes worked well. I used to set alarm, but now it just happens naturally. Love it. It's great.
It's coming to mind that you're providing this essential fatty acid for our bodies, longevity, brain health, all the things taking inside. I would assume that from the outside in could work as well from like a skin barrier function. Is that something you've explored at all or something in the future maybe?
It is. And you know, to start from the inside out component, that one of the benefits that, you know, our customers are most enthusiastic is that we don't say take it for your skin, but that, you know, redness of skin, skin's calmer, skin's plumper, less dry skin. And then with hair, there was actually a clinical trial that was done over 20 years ago with topical C15 with men with male pattern alopecia. And they showed in a double-blinded placebo-controlled clinical trial that it helped improve hair growth primarily by activating mitochondria in the hair cells. So we get a lot of people that are the favorite feedback we love getting from our customers on that front are baby hairs. They're like, I have so many baby hairs, or like my barber doesn't know what to do with my baby hairs. So, and again, an essential fatty acid should be helping with things like, just like you mentioned, well, should be helping with skin. It should be helping with hair and, you know, with quality of life. Those can be just as important mm-hmm. as a lot of the other things we've talked about today.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right, my friend, where do people go to learn about this amazing science and get a bottle for themselves?
Absolutely. So the science is at discoverc15.com. And that's where we put all of the peer-reviewed science, not just ours, but the world's C15 science. And we try to keep it as updated as possible. So you can go there and keep going back for the latest and greatest. And then you can get Fatty 15 at fatty15.com.
And I have a code for people. Go to fatty15, that's fatty15.com. Use code WillCole, all one word. You get 15% off. Thanks so much, Steph, for giving people the deal.
Oh, of course. We're so thrilled to be chatting with you and to help get the word out. Because, oh my goodness, we can't afford to wait. Got to just eager. And it's been a tremendous movement. Thank you for becoming part of it.
My goodness. Come back anytime. We'll get the results to that trial. Part two.
That sounds great.
We'll see you next time. Thanks again for listening to The Art of Being Well. If you have a chance, please rate and review the podcast here. And if you like what you're hearing, hit follow and pass it along to a friend. To see more, head to drwillcole.com/podcast. I'll be back again next Thursday, and I hope you will too. Talk soon.
Note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.